Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how does it feel when someone else does your job for you? I know for me personally, the answer depends on how good of a job they would do. I tend to approach projects and problems from a detailed system engineering perspective. Combined with my Air Force leadership training, I also like to take charge to enforce all of those details. Some people might call me a perfectionist. However, there have been many times where I've been sent to the sidelines, and I had to watch someone else do what I considered to be my job. As I watch from the sidelines, it is always a humbling experience to realize how deficient my own efforts have been and how proficient the hands of an expert can be. In our Old Testament text today, Ezekiel portrays just such an experience of the leaders of Israel being sidelined. Ezekiel was to be a priest in Jerusalem about 5 years before the temple and Jerusalem itself was destroyed in 587 BC. However, his training to be a priest was interrupted by his exile to Babylon. He never actually assumed his priestly responsibilities. Instead, God called him to be a prophet in exile. Ezekiel begins chapter 34 with God telling him to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. In essence, God is explaining to the leaders of Israel why they've been sidelined. He's explaining to them why they failed at keeping God's flock from becoming prey, and why they failed at preventing God's flock from being scattered. What must it have felt like to be the leaders of Israel, to know that God was so disappointed with your job performance that He Himself would come down and do it for you? In our text it says, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them." God had to do the job of the shepherds of Israel because they had failed miserably. It is striking to think about what this image contains. It paints a picture of Yahweh, the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of all creation, stepping down to do the job of a filthy, stinking herder, to take on the role of one of the lowest positions in society. Although God is the King of creation, He isn't ruling over them like a king. A king would rule from his throne and order people around. A king would worry about feeding himself. A king would rule with force and a harsh hand. However, God emphasizes that He won't rule from afar, and He won't feed Himself. Instead, He will feed the Israelites. Plus, He won't rule with a harsh and forceful hand. Instead, God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down," declares the Lord God. "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them in justice." As the shepherds of Israel watched from the sidelines, it must have been a humbling experience to realize how deficient their own efforts had been, and how proficient the hands of an expert God, of the expert God, are. But what does all this have to do with us? How does this apply to our lives today? We aren't a group of ancient Israelites recently sent into exile. We aren't separated from the promised land of Israel. In fact, the promised land doesn't have anything to do with us. This prophecy is 2.5 millennia old. What does this have to do with us? Well, this prophecy has to do with us because this prophecy is acting sacramentally. It is as real now as when it was first uttered. It is for our lives today. You see, you are the failing shepherds. We try to lead ourselves to rich pastures, and we only succeed in scattering ourselves to the wild world. We lack the faith and trust in God to do the job for us, so we boldly set out with our self-help guidebook and our YouTube tutorial, and only end up more lost than when we started. What's worse is that after we failed in saving ourselves, we chalk it up to lack of effort, and we simply try harder the next time. We amateurly believe that we can impact our own salvation. We think to ourselves, I'll be nice to that driver who just cut me off. That'll get me closer to God. I can study God's word on my own. I don't need to go to worship. I know more about science than God's word. I am my own savior. Imagine that you are one of the sheep in Ezekiel's prophecy. After a long day of grazing among the grassy hills at the foot of the mountain, you realize that you've gotten separated from the flock. You don't know where everyone else is. You look up and you notice a lush mountain above you. It looks like your home. So you start heading in that direction. Your path takes you along the side of a steep slope, and the footing becomes precarious. Not to be deterred, you keep pressing higher. Eventually, your foot slips, and you fall down, tumbling down the slope. Eventually, you find yourself stopped at the edge of a dark and rocky ravine. In frustration and relief, you reprimand yourself for being so careless. You slowly get up to edge away from the ravine. However, as soon as you take one step uphill, the dirt gives way, and you topple head over tail down into the rocky ravine, except this time, on the way down, you hit your head, and everything fades to darkness and despair. You wake up, expecting to find your broken body sprawled among the rocks. Instead, you find yourself lying in a rich and lush green pasture at the top of the mountain. Your injuries have all been bound up. You find yourself strengthened. Then Jesus, your shepherd, picks you up, puts you on his shoulders, and carries you back to the rest of the flock. God is the expert at salvation. God does the job of seeking us out and rescuing us. He takes the time and effort to come to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. You might not have anything to do with the promised land, but the promises of God still have everything to do with you. God promises that he will rescue his flock. You are part of God's flock. By your baptism, God declared you to be his. Salvation is yours, and you are no longer to be prey to the world. What's more, God ensures this salvation by setting up over you his servant David, who is the Christ, as the one shepherd. The one shepherd feeds us through his word and sacraments. Jesus strengthens us through the Lord's Supper and through hearing the word of God as it is read and preached. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts to strengthen our trust in God's promises and to enliven our faith in the kingdom of God. Jesus forgives our sins and binds up our wounds. He restores us to his flock when we wander away. As Ezekiel records for us, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. As we watch from the sidelines, it is a humbling experience to realize how deficient our own efforts have been, and how proficient the hands of the expert God are. God has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. God comes down to earth and does all the work. This is the good and gracious will. God's expert work is that he seeks us out, he rescues us, he forgives our lack of faith and trust, and even forgives our failed rescue attempts. He rescues us. He bandages up our injuries. He strengthens the weak. He feeds us his word. Thy will be done. He is our God, and Jesus is a prince among us. Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.